Okay, welcome back everyone to our Experience Shabbat Shir. Oh, hello, Marilyn. Good to have you here. So welcome back everyone to our Experience Shabbat Shir. And this week we are speaking about the interesting topic of sanctifying Shabbat. And obviously that's just a nice way of saying Kiddush. And so what I'd like to speak about both this week and next week are the topics of Kiddush and Havdalah. And previously we've spoken about the topics of Kiddush and Havdalah through another topic, and that is that of Zachor Es HaShabbat. Right, the notion of the positive commandment to remember Shabbos, and we said that all positive commandments fall under the category of Zachor. And the truth is, there really aren't that many positive commandments on Shabbos. Maximally, there are two positive Torah-level commandments on Shabbos, at least according to some opinions, and that is making Kiddush and saying Havdalah. According to the Rambam, as we've quoted in the past, according to Maimonides, they're the two bookends that we have, that we enter Shabbos, and then we leave Shabbos, and therefore those, both the beginning and the end, represent the Torah commandments of saying hello and saying goodbye to Shabbos. The truth is, though, that Kiddush and Havdalah mean a lot more than the words actually imply. There's such a deeper level of understanding of what it takes to actually sanctify Shabbos and what it means to say goodbye to Shabbos with Havdalah. And so that's the goal for the next 2 weeks, to truly understand this week what Kiddush is all about and next week to understand what Shabbos is all about. So before we begin, it's really important to understand one fact, and that is that there's only one mitzvah in the entire Torah that is agreed upon by everyone that it is a positive commandment for Shabbos. In other words, everyone agrees regarding Kiddush, that Kiddush is a positive commandment for Shabbos. Again, like I mentioned a moment ago, the Rambam does suggest that Havdalah is a positive commandment, but there are no other fully agreed upon by everyone positive commandments for Shabbos. So it's just interesting to note that that's what some of the Mefarshim point out. When we speak about Kiddush, there is one idea that comes out that is relevant and important to speak about, and that is the notion of sanctification or sanctifying time. That's what Kiddush actually means. We're sanctifying Shabbos by reciting these words. And of course, if you want to ever have a conversation or talk about the topic of sanctification and how we have been empowered to do so, you have to quote the pasuk that comes in Sefer Shemos in the 12th chapter when it says, HaChodesh HaZelechem, the very first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish nation at the beginning of our nationhood, or at the beginning of our official nationhood, once we were taken out of Mitzrayim, is that God gave us the ability to make Rosh Chodesh. God gave the Jewish nation the ability to sanctify time. What does it mean to sanctify time? Well, God said that we, as a Jewish people, are empowered with the ability to say when Rosh Chodesh falls. How do we do that? Well, we look up, we see when the moon is the right shape and the right size, and we know it's the new moon, and not the old moon, but it's the new moon, and then we send witnesses to the Beis Din, and we say, okay, we know now that it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's only us who decide that it's Rosh Chodesh. God doesn't come down every single month and say it's Rosh Chodesh now. We make that decision. It's a little bit not as clear nowadays. We don't really internalize that as much nowadays because we no longer have a system of sanctifying the month in the way they used to. Now we have a set calendar. We've had a set calendar for over 2,000 years, so we sort of become used to us not really being so involved in that process. But nonetheless, we were given the ability, we were empowered with the ability to sanctify time for ourselves. So we establish when it is Rosh Chodesh, and because we establish when Rosh Chodesh is, that also means we establish when all Jewish holidays are. There's only actually one day or holy time in the Jewish calendar that we are not personally empowered to sanctify, and that is actually Shabbos itself. It's ironic that we're talking about Shabbos and we're talking about the empowerment of us being able to sanctify any sort of holy moment, but actually Kiddush on Shabbos is a little bit of an odd concept because we make Kiddush on Shabbos, we are quote-unquote sanctifying the day, but we are actually not empowered to sanctify Shabbos at all. We are not the ones who are doing it, so we'll have to see what that means in a moment. I want to now truly begin to understand the topic of sanctifying time by quoting a piece from a very well-known book called The Sabbath, written by Abraham Heschel. He was, of course, a conservative rabbi who lived in our generation, in our times. And he has this fascinating book where he goes through Shabbos in a very, very deep perspective. And here's an excerpt that he writes when he speaks about sanctifying time. He says as follows, "Everyone will admit that the Grand Canyon is more awe-inspiring than a trench. So in other words, you see a hole in the dirt. Everyone knows that if you compare the hole in the dirt to the Grand Canyon, well, what's more impressive? Everyone knows the Grand Canyon is more impressive. He writes, everyone knows the difference between a worm and an eagle. You see an eagle, a majestic eagle in the sky, that's more impressive than a little worm in the ground. But how many of us, he writes, have a similar sense of discretion for the diversity of time? The historian Rank claimed that every age is equally near to God. In other words, that Tuesday at 1 o'clock and Saturday at 6 o'clock are the same thing from a human perspective. But he writes as follows, yet Jewish tradition claims that there is a hierarchy of moments within time, that all ages are not alike. Man may pray to God equally at all places, but God does not speak to man equally at all places. At a certain moment, for example, the spirit of prophecy departed from Israel, and there were other moments where prophecy was within Israel. So, in other words, what it comes down to is that there are clear demarcations on our calendar year and on our weekly cycle that God is closer to us and is willing to listen to us more, and times where he is a little bit more distant. Shabbos is the time where he is closer to us, and when we are told that we are sanctifying time, that means that we are somehow creating this new reality that we are closer to God just a little bit more than we were previously before. So in other words, different moments in time will therefore have different power, and that's what Kiddush and Hadalah are ultimately about, trying to establish that these are different moments in time, we have more of a connection to God, and the text of Kiddush and Hadalah is meant for us to be able to have some access to that intense holiness that we are experiencing at this moment. So what is Kiddush really all about? How do we now, we want to break it down, what is Kiddush actually here to accomplish, and what is it all about? So we know that truthfully there are two aspects of Kiddush. There is one, the words that we use, right? When we recite Kiddush every Friday night and every Shabbos day, we won't really touch on it too much, but we know that there is, of course, a slight difference between Kiddush on Shabbos day and Kiddush on Friday night. For right now, we'll be discussing specifically Friday night Kiddush. So there is the text, the words that we use, and there is, of course, the object that we use. What's the object that we use for Kiddush? Obviously, we use grape juice or we use wine or something like that to elevate the Kiddush to put it on a different plane. So let's discuss each of these things separately. The first is this notion of sanctifying Shabbos, of making Kiddush with words. So where does this notion come from? Where in the Torah does it say that we have an obligation to recite the words of Kiddush that we say every single Friday night? Answer is, it's not written in the Torah at all. Rather, what we're told is that the Torah writes, Zachor Asuma Shabbos Tekadsho, that we are told to remember Shabbos to sanctify it, right? It's interesting that the Torah says, Kadosh, we're supposed to sanctify it, but truth be told, the Torah says elsewhere that no, that Hashem is the one, that he is the one who does the sanctifying. But we understand that to sanctify Shabbos, that means that we have to use some words to empower the Shabbos. So where does that come from? Well, the Rambam is the one who writes it. The Rambam in his Mishneh Torah and Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Chav Tes says as follows, Mitzvahs Aseim in HaTorah, it's a positive commandment in the Torah, the Kadesh Es Yom HaShabbos B'Dvarim, to sanctify the day of Shabbos with words. Shenemar, where does it come from? The Pasuk that we just quoted, Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho, though we have to remember Shabbos to sanctify it, which means we have to klomar Zachrehu Zachira Shevach V'Kiddush. This means to say that we have to remember it by praising Shabbos and by sanctifying Shabbos. So the clear mitzvah from the Torah perspective, is saying Kiddush with words. The notion of other aspects of it, particularly the wine or the grape juice that we will make Kiddush over, and even the actual text itself, that's all rabbinic. We just have the obligation to sanctify with words, but all the rest is really just fill-in, quote-unquote, forgive me for using such a language, but it's really just fill-in from the rabbis. So what? How do we understand each of the paragraphs that we say on Friday night for Kiddush? So let's break down each paragraph. So there are three paragraphs that we say on Friday night. One is the Yom HaShishi paragraph. That's the first one. The second is not really a paragraph. It's the Hagafen blessing. And the third is the Bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat. So what are these three paragraphs doing and what function do they have when we make Kiddush? The first is the first paragraph. And so when we say Yom HaShishi, this actually is a paragraph that we already said in Shul previously. What is it all about? It's all about the testimony of creation. It's literally, we are giving Eidos, we are giving a testimony before everyone around us, and if it's just us, then it's just us. But we are giving testimony that God created the world. The second paragraph, of course, is, as we just said, it's the blessing for grape juice or for wine. And the third paragraph is actually the only one that is really technically Kiddush. What, is this blessing doing? What does it say in it? Well, it has a few different themes in it. Well, number one, it mentions both creation, and it also mentions the Exodus from Egypt. We know, as we've explained previously in some of our previous classes, that there are two themes that Shabbos is connected to over and over again. One is that it's linked to Maaseh Bereishit, that it's linked to the creation story from the Torah, and number two, that it's linked to the fact that God took us out of Egypt. The fact that God empowered us with the ability to no longer be slaves, and that we are now free men and women, that means that we are therefore imbued with the opportunity to then serve God on a higher level, which is by keeping Shabbos. So these two themes, creation and Exodus, are mentioned in this Kiddush blessing. And the truth is, as we mentioned before, we're not actually sanctifying Shabbos. So what are we actually doing when we make Kiddush? So I believe the answer is as follows. If we're not sanctifying Shabbos, it has to be we're doing something else. And I think it's that we can, it can be found and understood within another line that we say in that last third paragraph in that Kiddush blessing. And that is, Ki vanu vacharta v'yosanu ki dashta. What a weird language to add in Kiddush. That's not something that we normally say throughout the week, throughout the year. We use the language of Ki vanu vacharta, that God has chosen us as his people. We use that on the holidays. That's a big theme. Ata vachartanu mikol hamim, that we were chosen among all the other nations. Why do we all of a sudden throw in this language of Kivano Bacharta Vosano Kidashta? And truth be told, we do have it in other aspects of the prayers, but significantly for Kiddush itself, specifically in Kiddush, why is it added? So I believe the answer is that Kiddush is the recognition that we are actually not empowered for once to be making, to be sanctifying this day. We're empowered to sanctify every other day of the year when we sanctify Rosh Chodesh, when we sanctify holidays, etc. But when we're sanctifying Shabbos, we are not doing actual sanctification, meaning Shabbos would come. When I say that, I mean that Shabbos will come regardless of whether or not I sanctify it. Once sunset comes, or once the three stars come out on Friday night, it will be Shabbos whether or not I say it. We're not in control of that. But what we're doing is that we're admitting a certain fact, and that is that we're admitting that God sanctified Shabbos, not that we're sanctifying it, but that God is the one that sanctified it. And what are we doing when we're saying that God is the one that sanctified Shabbos? Well, we're saying that we are agreeing and admitting to the fact that God runs the world. What else did God do? Not only did he establish Shabbos, not only did he sanctify Shabbos, but he also chose us as his people. And the fact that he chose us as his people means that he imbued within us a certain level of holiness. And that level of holiness that we now have within ourselves is what gives us the ability to actually keep Shabbos properly. So when we make Kiddush, we're not sanctifying Shabbos itself, but rather what we're doing is that we're admitting and we're understanding and we're showing that we believe that we ourselves are holy, and therefore that's what makes us worthy of being able to experience and celebrate this one day a week of Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, so what are the functions of each of these paragraphs that we just mentioned before, these three paragraphs? So we said that Vayechulu is all about giving testimony of creation. So why do we say this, we ask? We say this actually in Shul, right? So right after Shmona Esrei on Friday night, well, unfortunately we don't have Shul right now, God willing soon, but on Friday nights we say the paragraph of Vayechulu. So why do we repeat it when we get home? So the answer goes to what it's been explained over the years, is that we actually repeat this paragraph of Yom HaShishi Vayechulu Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. We repeat this paragraph not for ourselves, not for those of us who have been in shul, but actually for those of us who have not been in shul. Meaning, we said it during davening, but there are always people, usually, who are at the table who were actually not at davening and may not have said these words. So they need to be said at least once on Friday night. Therefore, we repeat them again at Kiddush. Oh, so what do you say? So let's say a person is by themselves on Friday night, they're making Kiddush, and they also said it in davening. So why should they have to repeat it again? The answer is, I would assume that this just became part of the text. This became part of the liturgy. Once it was something that was done for X, Y, and Z reasons, because there were always people there who were not going to shul. So it became part of the regular text, even if you're at a table by yourself and you were at shul, unless you say it again. Where do the words Yom HaShishi come from? Such an odd thing. These two words were just thrown in there. The whole Vayechulu text is something that we always say on Friday night. So where do the Yom HaShishi words come from? So it's actually a fascinating idea. It's more of a Kabbalistic one. And that is that the first four words of Kiddush, some of the Kabbalists wanted them to represent the name of God. So they decided to do as follows. we have the words Vayechu Hashamayim. Those are the first two words of that text, of those psukim. So they said, add Yom HaShishi before that. And what do you get if you add Yom HaShishi Vayechu Hashamayim? Each one of those words begins with one of the letters of Hashem. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei. And as a result, that's why we have those words that are added. What about the words of Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, right? Many of the Sidurim and many of the Benchers will say these words silently, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker. So what's that all about? So that's a great question. It actually doesn't make too much sense. It seems like they were just thrown in there as well. Why were those thrown in there? The understanding seems to be in the answer to that is because Yom HaShishi, those words are totally arbitrary, meaning it's very nice you want to create this cute acronym of God's name when you say Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim, but ultimately, you don't really need four words like that. It's just an odd way to do it. You're quoting, Yom HaShishi is obviously a quote from the Pasuk, give me a little bit more. So that's what they did. They added a few more words from the Pasuk, so there's a full Pasuk of Vayihi Erev Vayihi Voker, Yom HaShishi. So what you'll say, if you're really a Talmud Chacham, is you'll have the following issue, and that is, halachically, we don't like to misquote psukim. It's actually a really important idea that most people are not aware of, and how do I know most people aren't aware of it? Because you go into a lot of shuls, and you'll see in many shuls, they'll have like cute excerpts from psukim, like the more famous psukim, or the more famous half of a pasuk will be on the wall. That's actually a prohibition. We don't believe in slicing up psukim like that. If we ever want to quote a pasuk, we say quote the whole thing, or don't quote it at all. So there are two issues with our kiddush. Number one, Yom HaShishi is clearly a quote from a pasuk, and we said it's such an insignificant quote, so let's add a little bit more. So we say, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, Yom HaShishi, but that's still half of a pasuk. So that happens to be the custom of many to say it like that, even though it seems to be a little bit problematic to have half a pasuk like that, but nonetheless, that is what we do. However, there are those people that have the custom. In fact, I have a bencher in my home that has it like this, that you don't just say, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, Yom HaShishi, rather you say the whole pasuk, going back to the way beginning of the pasuk, to avoid any issue whatsoever. Okay, but this is a little bit of a digression. So the first paragraph of Kiddush is all about this acceptance and this testimony that we believe that God created the world, and that's what we're accomplishing with the first paragraph. We repeat it again at home for those people who may not have heard it in shul. The second paragraph we'll skip for a second, because that'll be more the end of the discussion when we speak about the object of Kiddush, and that is grape juice. The third paragraph, so what's all of this about the third paragraph? Let me turn to my notes here. Where am I? I apologize. Okay, I got ahead of myself, sorry. I think I already answered that question, so let's just go back one moment. The third paragraph, again, is meant to accomplish this, the actual proper Kiddush of Shabbos. It's the sanctification of Shabbos, and that was the question that I asked. What gave us the ability to sanctify Shabbos? And we said, no, we don't sanctify Shabbos. Hashem is the one who is sanctifying Shabbos, and we just sort of admit to that sanctification, and that shows that we are holy. That was that whole bit, and then we went back. We went to the first paragraph, and then finally, now we're left with the middle paragraph. And that is the paragraph of actually saying Barei Pri HaGafen. So the number one question, the million-dollar question, the elephant in the room question is, where in the world does grape juice come when we talk about Kiddush? Why in the world do we make HaGafen when we say Kiddush? You'll say, what do you mean? That's just what we do. Well, what are you asking me a question about that? Well, the answer is that it's not found anywhere in the Torah. So we make Kiddush, and we even said the Rambam says that we have this obligation to be Mekadesh Shabbat with words, B'dvarim, but where in the world does grape juice come from? So the answer is, it actually comes from a Gemara. Gemara in Pesachim says very simply, Tanu Rabbanan Zachor Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho Zochruhu Al HaYayin. The way we remember Shabbos is over wine. Why over wine? Okay, hold your horses. We'll get there in a second. The Rambam actually quotes this as well. He says, Midirei Sofrim, according to the rabbis, LeKadosh Al HaYayin, we have a mitzvah. When we make Kiddush, we do it over grape juice. So this means that it's a rabbinic commandment. There are some people, particularly there is one opinion that can be found among the Balei Tosfot on the side of the Gemara, who mentions that maybe grape juice or wine itself is actually a Torah commandment. That's not such a common opinion, but maybe it is a Torah commandment, and when you make the Kiddush over the wine, that is the fulfillment of Torah commandments. However, when you drink the wine, the drinking aspect of itself, that's a rabbinic commandment. And there is... So what we gather from here ultimately, though, is that according to most opinions, the grape juice or the wine aspect is simply a rabbinic one, furthering the understanding and the concept that Kiddush itself is all about just saying these words. And one further proof or one further idea on that same vein is the fact that we can actually use bread for Kiddush. It's a little bit, some people know this halacha and like to use it as like a fun fact, and some people have never heard this halacha and think you're crazy when you're talking about it, but you can actually make Kiddush on your challah. Let's say a person finds themselves without their grape juice or without their wine on a Friday night and they have nowhere to get it from. What do? You take the challah and you make Kiddush over the challah. How do you do that? Well, the same way you make Kiddush over wine, you can actually make Kiddush over the challah. The Shulchan Aruch says this halacha explicitly. Therefore, what all this is sort of leading us up to is this idea that, number one, Kiddush is this whole package that we normally are used to when we see the three paragraphs and we see wine. We think this is all Kiddush, and the goal of all this was to break it all down slowly but surely, to understand that the addition of wine is, according to most rabbinic, the first paragraph seems to not actually be a true part of Kiddush, rather was added later on to accomplish what we said before. The Hagafen aspect, again, was a rabbinic one, and the only real aspect of Kiddush when we're talking about sanctifying Shabbos is actually this third bracha. And when we understand that, we understand that that's really what we're trying to accomplish at Kiddush. Whatever these words mean, whatever this third paragraph is all about, that's what Kiddush is all about. And when we want to talk about the secrets of sanctifying Shabbos, we have to understand what's in that paragraph. There is so much more when it comes to talking about Kiddush. In particular, we mentioned before that there is a difference between a daytime and a nighttime Kiddush, right? The Torah says that we have the obligation to sanctify Shabbos. Never does it say we have the obligation to sanctify Shabbos twice, right? So why are we making Kiddush during the day? So people explain that the daytime Kiddush is rabbinic. There's also a slew of halachos as they apply to what's called Kiddush b'makom se'udah, that we have to make Kiddush in the place where we eat the meal. There's all these halachos as they apply to the type of cup that we need. Can it use grape juice? Does it need to be wine? There's a whole series of halachos as they apply to how much we need to drink. All these halachos are important and crucial and should of course be learned, and this is not the right time to learn them, but hopefully we'll find time in the future to learn them. But all of this is driving home this final idea, this main idea, that is that Kiddush is not all about the grape juice. Kiddush is not all about the Vayechulu. Kiddush is about the bracha of Mekadesh Es HaShabbos. We should understand when we're making Kiddush that it's all about this unbelievable irony that making Kiddush is actually not making Kiddush at all. When we're making Kiddush, we're not the one sanctifying, we're admitting that God is the one that sanctifies. But in admitting that God is the one that sanctifies, we are ourselves admitting that we too are holy enough, that we were imbued with and empowered with the ability to keep Shabbos, and that God said this holiest day of the week was given to us specifically, the Jewish nation. Our single most important goal is that we have to be able to find our own inner holiness, and to be able to find their own inner holiness will then allow us to keep Shabbos properly, because that's ultimately what making Kiddush is all about. Understanding and believing that we are holy, we are imbued with this holiness, and that's why we were given Shabbos in the first place. So how do we find our own inner holiness? Now that's a good question, and that question I do not have an answer to. Unfortunately, the only way that you can find your own inner holiness is for you to be able to find it on your own. So I give everyone a bracha that they should be given with the tools and the abilities to find their own inner holiness this Shabbos, so that they will truly understand what it means when they say, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Everyone should have a great night and a Shabbat Shalom. Question?